WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A dozen states sue the Trump administration to stop its tariff policy. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield says it's unlawful.
President Trump's stance on national economic policy and tariffs has been nothing short of chaotic. It's put our economy on tilt. It's already begun increasing prices on things we regularly buy, from groceries to utility costs.
The lawsuit, also brought by states including Arizona, Connecticut, Minnesota, and New Mexico, challenges President Trump's claim that he could arbitrarily impose tariffs based on the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. The president urges China to make a deal to end major trade tariffs. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
China has called President Trump's trade practices bullying and blackmail. The president acknowledges his tariffs of 145% against Chinese products are very high, but he says they don't have to stay that way.
I get along very well with President Xi. I hope we can make a deal. Otherwise, we'll set a price, and hopefully they'll come here and they'll contribute. And if they don't, that's okay.
In a much more easygoing tone than when he set the tariffs, Trump conveyed a certain optimism.
We're going to get along great with China. I have no doubt about it.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Trump says he thinks there is a deal with Russia to end the war in Ukraine, with President Volodymyr Zelensky now the holdout.
I think they went well. I mean, you know, we got to get two smart people to agree. And as soon as they agree, the killing will stop.
The mayor of Kyiv is reporting at least 21 injured in a missile attack on his city. In St. Peter's Basilica, long winding lines lead to the coffin of Pope Francis. In St. Peter's Square, the faithful reflecting on the experience.
This is kind of just a mixture of emotions. I mean, I'm anxious a lot walking in. Just, it's such a surreal place, and it's very holy. And seeing the body and just remembering everything that he stood for is very important.
The funeral will be held on Saturday, and the secretive voting process to choose a new pope begins 15 to 20 days after the death of Pope Francis. Trust in the government is on a downward trend. CBS's Matt Piper with the study.
Just 41% of Americans now trust the U.S. Supreme Court, a sharp fall from 68% in 2019. Nearly one in three say they have no trust at all in the court. But support for judicial oversight of the presidency is surging. The Annenberg Public Policy Center survey shows Americans across party lines overwhelmingly support the Constitution's system of checks and balances that limits presidential authority. 66% say presidents should not ignore court rulings, even if they disagree.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Big night for Brewer batters. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bryce Terang had four hits. Jake Bowers, a two-run homer. Christian Yelich, a grand slam that sailed 407 feet. The Brewers beat the Giants 11-3 in San Francisco. Jose Quintana allowing just one run over six innings. He's now 3-0. Is he the best pitcher the Brewers have right now? Pat Murphy.
He is. I mean, he's only, how many starts has he made for us?
Three.
I feel like he's made 30 for us, because it's just like he gives you that understanding of, like, I know how to pitch. I know how to get out of this thing. I know how to navigate through a lineup.
NBA, the Bucks losing again to the Pacers, 123-115. The series moves to Milwaukee Friday, with Indy up 2-0. NFL draft in Green Bay. Players and families arriving for tomorrow night's first round.
It is pretty amazing just kind of seeing all this kind of come together. What a cool thing for the Packers and city of Green Bay, and really neat to see it all come together.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Will there ever be a sequel to The Big Lebowski? If Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore had their say, it would be absolutely. Unfortunately, it is the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, who seem against the idea. The Coen brothers have not made a sequel to any of their work, although Bridges said they do tend to surprise people sometimes. In addition to no sequels, the brothers also have not made a film together since 2018's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. When he's not trying to sell you his own products like Aviation Gin or Mint, Ryan Reynolds actually makes films. He starred opposite Hugh Jackman in 2024's Deadpool and Wolverine. Recently, Jackman took a good-natured swipe at his pal Reynolds by telling a crowd at Radio City Music Hall that Jackman was curiously left out of a dance scene in the film. Don't worry, there is no awkwardness. Jackman did assure everyone in the crowd they are bros for life. Thank goodness for that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low, low 40s. Showers developing, especially tomorrow afternoon, highs upper 50s. Early showers, then clearing sky for Friday, highs in the mid-50s, and more sunshine Saturday, highs low 60s. Currently, it's 66.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball
You're
Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Ooh, I need some of that because I didn't have my nappy today, Haley, and you're going to probably have to hold up the whole show.
I know. Well, I haven't had like my sixth cup of coffee yet, so yeah. I need to get there still.
Oh, to be young. And then you put all those sweet things in there. And
just sweat it out. All the caffeine. Just sweat it out.
Nice. Jeez. That reminds me. Well, I had a story I think I told you years ago. I'd have my espresso machine on a timer, and I'd have coffee, and I was having chest pains, and I went to the doctor right away that day, and they started asking me, you know, do you have these chest pains when you wake up? And I'm going, no. And she goes, when do you start feeling them? I'm going, dang, I'm drinking too much coffee. I start feeling them after 10th cup of coffee and two shots of espresso. So I had to back off a little bit back then.
Yeah.
I think I was in my 40s.
Oh, yeah. It's like our bloodline. I remember like my native, no, seriously, like my native aunties and Gaga and everything back in the day when they would all get together, like no matter what time of the day it was, it could be 10 o'clock at night and they'd still be sitting around the kitchen table just drinking coffee.
And smoking cigs.
Exactly. Yeah. the classic duo.
And talking crap.
Yeah.
Exactly. I hope they're not listening tonight. Hey, you know what? Let's switch up a little bit here. I just want to, before we talk about what month it is here in April, I was at the today's book day, which is really interesting, World Book Day. And I was at the book Minnesota Book Awards last night, and it was awesome. The two Native Americans won, and also Kathy Coates, who did the book Banished that we always talk about. She was a runner up, and so it was a great night. It was pretty awesome.
It looked awesome. I was seeing on Facebook as they posted as the awards came out each time. I was waiting for Kathy there. I did see Marcy Rendon won genre fiction with her book Where They Last Saw Her.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Just so proud of her.
And there's so many fans for her, and we just like hang out with her at the
Farmer's Market. Yes. Four Sisters.
Yes.
I
just
know.
Chilling out.
Oh my gosh, we love her family. Simone Rendon, too, her daughter, is the owner of Edible Arts, and she makes her own handmade jams and stuff. And you can see both of them usually at the Four Sisters Farmers Market every Thursday at NACTI's parking lot in the summer months.
Yeah, and good on her, Marcy, and it's really cool to know her. And there are so many fans. I got to just tell you this before we get moving on here is that one of the biggest fans for her is State Senator Mary Kunish.
Oh, yeah. She talks about her all the time herself.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's an avid reader, of course, and then that was her job when she was in public schools, was a media specialist. And I'm old enough to remember when they used to call them librarians.
Librarians. I always loved going to the library in elementary school. I thought the librarians were, like, the best people, the nice, usually, like, women, but the nicest ladies ever. Well, we're talking about World Book Day here today on April 23rd. I was watching the news last night.
What?
I caught...
Gen Zs don't watch the news.
It was on. My dad was watching it.
Oh, you were walking by.
Yeah. Well, I paid attention because they said Birch Bark Bookstore. And I was like, hey, what? I know them. It's a native bookstore. And there was this 10-year-old native girl author who has a book in Birch Bark Bookstore. Her name is Kiki Garcia, and she is a 10-year-old Ojibwe author. She comes from the Magizi clan, the Eagle clan. Not sure exactly what tribe, but Kiki Garcia is the author of Fishing by Torchlight, featuring illustrations by Aaron Kant Barnard, I believe is the name. That's so amazing. Kiki's only 10 years old. She has a book. Kara Levin did a really great piece on her last night.
Yeah, on their website.
It should be. Yeah, they do have it in their store. I was trying to look up more information on Kiki here, but the main character in Kiki's book is actually her, and she it talks about spearfishing with her dad in the dark. So yeah, it you know, teaches about the Ojibwe culture, traditions, and language. She throws some language in there too. But you can get that one, Fishing by Torchlight.
That's a great segue for the rest of the show. Of course, we're going to have our Arena Martin on, and our Ho-Chunk friend, and also later on, Medicine River, a story of survival and the legacy of Indian boarding schools. We're going to have Mary Annette Pember on, and she's Red Cliff Tribe of Wisconsin. And there's an event on Thursday that I will be there. Hopefully I'll have a nap and then I'll be a little sharper than I am right now. And I will be hosting that Q&A and reading from Mary Annette Pember. And again, Medicine River, the story of survival and the legacy of Indian schools, boarding schools. And she'll be on later on in the show.
Yeah, excited to talk to her and get this book. I know her book released this week. You can search that one, Medicine River, Mary Annette Pember. But yeah, that was interesting. I was learning, too, Medicine River. That's what they used to call Bad River, and then it got changed to Bad River.
That's crazy. We'll have to talk to her. We'll have to quiz her on that.
Yeah, you're right. I wanted to give the address too for Birch Bark Books. That is 2115 West 21st Street, Minneapolis. And they have more than just books. They have some native art there too that you can check out.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Wow. Yeah. So what else? And also one of the things before we get too far into it, I want to talk a little bit about this month. Is April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition is hosting Honoring Survivors Traditional Powwow this evening, Wednesday. Tonight.
Yeah, so I think 6 p.m. is registration, so get in your cars and get on over to the Crown Plaza. That's in Bloomington. The address is 3 Apple Tree Square, Bloomington, Minnesota. Kind of cool.
Wow.
7 p.m. is the grand entry time, and then they plan to wrap up around 10 with the traveling song.
Very cool. Jeez. I wonder after my nap if I can scoot over there for a quick intertribal.
It'd be a good one to go to support. I know that they're doing, they're wearing like purple and the teal fringes on the shawls to bring awareness to domestic and sexual assault survivors and MMIR and those murdered around Turtle Island.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I'll have to go check it out. Also, we're going to be heading over Friday to Dr. Stately's grand opening.
Native American Community Clinic.
Yeah, with their new building and the groundbreaking. I don't know where they're going to dig it up. They must bring their own pile of sand because it's all tar parking lot where it's going to be. So that'd be hard to really shovel that up.
Yeah, I don't know if they've started the demolition process of their parking lot.
Right. Hey, and also Native Nations Fashion Show, and that's going to be Friday, April 25th, 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Intercontinental in St. Paul River, the Great River Ballroom there on 11 East Kellogg Boulevard, right downtown St. Paul.
Yeah, that one's going to be fun. This year's theme for the Native Nations Fashion Show is I Am Water. And some of this year's designers, Amari LaRocque, Angela Azur LaRocque, Judy Azur, Dr. Sage Davis, Lauren Aragon, Shannon Gustafson, and Delina White.
Right. And remember, everyone, Saturday, Ho-Chunk World War II Cold Talkers Highway Dedication is happening in Wisconsin at La Crosse, the Welcome Center in La Crosse, from 10 a.m. to 11:15. Be there or be square. This is Native Roots Radio, and up next, Arvina Martin. Ho-wa!
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Now showing at MIA, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on the Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work and see how her art challenges traditional ideas of Native and modern art. Only at MIA, and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Welcome back. Hey, it was a little slow on that microphone button there, Haley.
Well, you know how those elders move sometimes.
Yeah, I haven't had my nap. And hey, we have Arvina Martin, Ho-Chunk and Stockbridge Muncie, Emerge Wisconsin Executive Director. And we don't like to talk about the Stockbridge Muncie part, but welcome.
Yes, we do.
Thank you. I actually had found an article I'll have to send to Haley for the next time I come. We can talk about something cool Stockbridge that I saw and I forgot to send earlier.
Right on. Well,
preview for a future appearance, Stockbridge Muncie News.
Yeah. Well, happy Earth Day, and that was yesterday, and then I don't know, how do we say that, Haley?
Okay, Arvina and I were kind of talking about this through text earlier, and Ho-Chunk Academy put this out yesterday on Earth Day. I think it's Ma
Hirakara Hamkebeske, Nervina? Is that Happy Earth Day?
Yeah, that sounds like, it sounds like, you know, Hamp means day, and EPSK is like happy or pleasurable, or not pleasurable.
Wait a minute.
No, it's like nice, pleasing.
Oh, there.
Yeah. And then or, ma is like, means earth too. Cause I know that like, we belong to the earth, how we say that would be like, I think it's like ma or oh, no, I won't be able to say it. Ma negi hereda or something like that. But yeah, okay. Earth is ma, which I think is really cool. Cause it's like ma, mother, ma, and it's like earth is like mother earth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One of the first sounds that babies start making is the and the kind of a, I think is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You picked our Ho-Chunk word today. Do you want to announce it?
Yes, let's hear it.
Oh, this came through my chat with Haley trying to figure out if we could figure out all the words in Happy Earth Day in Ho-Chunk. Yeah. Is the word ho EPSK.
Yeah.
Which means
EPSK.
What? I'm sorry.
You're good. No, you had it.
Oh, ho EPSK. Which means dolphin. Or so ho is fish and EPSK is like what we said, like happy or pleasant. And I saw the definition as agreeable, so I like thinking of dolphin as an agreeable fish.
Well, how do I join that clan?
I don't know. I was surprised. I found that word because I was going to an elementary school where they were unveiling, and this was like an elementary school with like the littles, like kindergarten through second grade. And they had an all school assembly to give their land acknowledgement and put up their plaque. All the schools in Madison are putting up land acknowledgement plaques. And they asked me to come in and speak. And last minute, somebody had gotten sick, their original speaker. And so I was trying to be like, oh my gosh, what do I say to these kids? They're all like 7 and younger, like eight years old, or, you know, like at the oldest. And I just last minute thought of like, well, I'll teach them a couple of things in like how to say hello or, you know, things in Ho-Chunk. And I looked up that their school mascot was the dolphin. So I quick looked up the dictionary app, RIP, and now it's just on the website, I think. But I looked up dolphin just being like, I wonder if we have a word for that. And came across the very agreeable fish.
Sure enough, we had it.
Well, that's the word of the day. When are we gonna like say all the words, Haley? What is that gonna be, some Friday where we just do the words and the definitions?
It's like a whole teaching segment. It'd be like a whole show. I don't know. We haven't done one. We haven't done a Ho-Chunk word since Arvina was on. So thanks, Arvina.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. Hey, Arvina, do you know anything about the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers highway dedication that's happening this Saturday?
I know that it's happening. It's not much more than that. I'm not sure what the program is, but I know that there have been other, like, didn't they do like a groundbreaking, and they've had several other events. So this is a big deal to have a section of interstate highway named for our Ho-Chunk code talkers. And the section is near La Crosse, I believe, La Crosse to the border.
Yeah, the Welcome Center in La Crosse. And Haley and I went past that when we went to the powwow down there. So it's pretty easily found. You know, I have to give a shout out to Representative Christian White Eagle, who's been really pushing this, and she's a doer, and the nation's going to miss her because she's not going to be able to run again. She's been in for two consecutive, but I just think the world of her, and she is such a doer, and this is one of the things that she pushed through. One of the things, too, about the signs is that they're going to have the English version and the Ho-Chunk version in it, and that just makes my heart sing to hear that.
Same. I like the fact that that we are having these opportunities to see our language in places where it's not just us. I know there's we have a St. Vincent de Paul store here in Madison, and they have their signs, you know, that say the women's department, men's department, and that, you know, children's shoes, things like that. And they have them in English, Spanish, Hmong, and Ho-Chunk. And that was like the first time I had seen that, you know, just in the wild, so to speak. So it was really exciting.
They have that like in Park Rapids and places in northern Minnesota, some of those
towns. Wild there too.
Yeah, it is wild there too, but they have like the Ojibwe language on some of their, like on their welcome signs. They have English welcome and then like the Ojibwe welcome, and it is always interesting to see it in places where like off reservation.
Well, before we get too deep on that, there's a couple things I want to get going in the segments flying. And Arvina, you've been watching North of North.
I just watched it this weekend. It was so good. Mm-hmm. It just made my heart happy to see. And you know, in a different it hits you in the heart, you know, in a way that's different than Reservation Dogs. I think, you know, they're not similar other than the fact that, you know, they're funny and they're telling Native stories. But I really liked the story. And who doesn't love a story of, you know, a young woman taking her independence and trying to forge her way, you know, in the vein of like Mary Tyler Moore, you know? Yeah. So
What's interesting too, and I'm sure you caught this, is like when she was, I don't want to really get into the too much away, but she was leaving her husband and she was worried about all her earrings.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that's a Native thing for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And how you put them up, or like how you store them as well. Like that just made me think a lot, because I have all of my earrings hanging on a rack on my wall. So I was like, oh my God, I'd have to like take those racks down. And
yeah, I really liked it. And it was a heartfelt and a fun story, and a lot of culture thrown in there. And I really liked it. I binged on it. I think in 2 days I watched it all, or 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't heavy, you know, it was like a nice little sitcom, and just, I don't know, it just kind of made me feel a little bit of joy in this increasingly hellscape world that we live in.
Yes, today. I want to say today's World Book Day, and before we only got like a minute or two left here, I want you to be able to spit out a couple of your favorite Native authors, and then also give a shout out to how people can get involved with Merge Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. I am absolutely blanking, but I know, oh my gosh, pressure. Don't you hate that? And your mind is just like blank slate. I'm like, oh.
Kind of like my daily when I talk to Haley. So I you know, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, there's a Ho-Chunk author. Pressure. What's that one? Finding My Dance by Rhea Thundercloud.
Oh yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Call.
I have wanted to take a look at that book. There's also a book by Becky Webster and her husband on food sovereignty. They run a traditional farm over in Oneida, so they're having a book that's coming out too. I can't recall the name of it, and I wish I would have.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. 12 states sue the Trump administration to stop its tariff policy. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield says it's unlawful.
It's forced us into trade wars, and ultimately it is going to cost our state jobs and our country jobs.
The White House says the administration remains committed to using its full legal authority to confront the distinct national emergencies our country is currently facing. President Trump says he thinks there might be a deal with Russia to stop the fighting in Ukraine, but
we have to get a deal with Zelensky, and I hope that Zelensky, I thought it might be easier to deal with Zelensky. So far, it's been harder.
A powerful show of devotion and grief at St. Peter's Basilica as mourners pay final respects to Pope Francis. CBS's Chris Livesay is there.
According to the Vatican, earlier today, already 20,000 people had lined up to see him. But now I'm seeing even more people lined up than before.
The funeral for Francis is on Saturday. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A big night for Brewer batters. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bryce Terang had four hits. Jake Bowers, a two-run homer. Christian Yelich, a grand slam that sailed 407 feet. The Brewers beat the Giants 11-3 in San Francisco. Jose Quintana allowing just one run over six innings. He's now 3-0. Is he the best pitcher the Brewers have right now? Pat Murphy.
He is. I mean, he's only, how many starts has he made for us?
Three.
I feel like he's made 30 for us because it's just like he gives you that understanding of like, I know how to pitch. I know how to get out of this thing. I know how to navigate through a lineup.
NBA, the Bucks losing again to the Pacers, 123-115. The series moves to Milwaukee Friday with Indy up 2-0. NFL draft in Green Bay. Players and families arriving for tomorrow night's first round.
It is pretty amazing just kind of seeing all this kind of come together. What a cool thing for the Packers and city of Green Bay, and really neat to see it all come together.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you were a fan of Malcolm in the Middle, you'll want to hear this. The 25th anniversary reboot of the show is currently in production in Vancouver. Deadline reports that the Fox show, which first dropped in 2000, will air four new episodes on Disney+. Bryan Cranston, Jane Kaczmarek, and Frankie Muniz will all revise their roles. The original Malcolm produced 151 episodes over seven seasons. Speaking of Frankie Muniz, if you're wondering what the 39-year-old actor has been up to, the answer is racing. Muniz launched a career as a full-time NASCAR driver just recently. He was not happy with his finish in a recent race on April 18th where his power steering line burst and he injured his hand while compensating. Muniz was also involved in an accident during a race in Bristol, Tennessee in early April. Sounds like I could beat him with my Honda. The actor says if he had to choose between acting or racing, he would choose racing. If things keep going the way they're going, they will be looking for a new middle child on Malcolm. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low, low 40s. Showers developing, especially tomorrow afternoon, highs upper 50s. Early showers, then clearing sky for Friday, highs in the mid-50s, and more sunshine Saturday, highs low 60s. Currently at 64 degrees.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with a VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hoka, hey-cha,
we-cha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're always excited to have an author on, and we have an author named Marionette Pember, and she is a citizen of Red Cliff Ojibwe Tribe and author of Medicine River, A Story of Survival and the Legacy of Indian Boarding Schools. Hey, welcome, and we are so blessed to have you on here and talk about this this story that's really has deep roots to everyone in Indian country, but you're speaking of your story about your mother and how it's affected your family. And I just want to say a big peeni gigi. Thank you so much for being on.
Well, bojugakini wia. I said that wrong. It's gakina wia. Bojugakina wia. It's been a long day. I've been doing interviews all day, which is not common for me. I'm usually just burrowed down here in a bat cave grinding away. But yeah, so today the book drops. So it's an exciting day.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to promote too, I will be introducing you and maybe even grilling you with a few questions at Moon Palace Books on Thursday. And that is April 24th at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Moon Palace Books in Minneapolis. And you will be speaking about your book. And I'm just excited. It's a great venue. And everyone, come on out. It's free and check it out. This is a very important story. And let's start talking about this story.
Yes, well, you know, the book, gosh, I feel like I've been writing it my entire life, really. I mean, my mother, you know, told me stories about the sister school from my earliest memory. They were kind of my bedtime stories, really. And I'm the youngest and the only girl. And, you know, somebody else is asking me, you know, why did she only tell you and not tell your brothers? And I think a couple of reasons. One, you know, because I'm a girl. But, you know, I think at that time, you know, there's a big gap between me and my brothers. And I think she felt safe, you know. Things had, my dad's business was, you know, decent. And I think, you know, they had a house. And I think she finally felt safe. And she felt that she could talk about that stuff. So she would tell me these stories, although sometimes she would, you know, kind of add, like, you know, make herself the heroine, you know, and it always ended, you know, in a good way. And I don't think and then I found out later in real life, it didn't always end in a good way. So she put, you know, a lot of shreds of truth in it. But I was told those stories from my earliest memory. And I always also knew somehow later then, you know, as I became an adult and went off to university and so on, she, you know, it was like this kind of gauntlet she threw down before me. And I was like on this quest to tell the world, you know, about her life and some of the hypocrisy, you know, that she experienced there at the sister school. So I talk about in the book, it's kind of a sweeping history of boarding schools. It's not like in depth. It's not like, you know, Adam's book, which is, you know, Education for Extinction, which is an incredible book and, you know, very detailed. But I weave in my personal experience with my mom, who I think really had mental illness as a result of a lot of stuff that happened to her, untreated PTSD. You know, she really suffered terribly. And certainly in those days, there was nobody to talk about to. And even the idea that one could talk about those things didn't exist. So, you know, I began wanting to, you know, figure out why our family was the way that we were and what troubled her. And it was difficult growing up with her. And it kind of began my interrogation into her life and then became, you know, an interrogation into the influence of boarding schools on Native people and led to this book.
Yeah, I really like the brief histories, and I think a lot of people, and again, you know, we're in that time of at least U.S. history where we have to be reminded and teach our allies out there what really happened to Native Americans and because of these boarding schools and during this boarding school era. You know, the last boarding school that closed was 1996, and it isn't like history, you know, dinosaur time. It was just our family's history.
you know, there's still boarding schools now. I mean, I think, you know, there's a number of boarding schools, Riverside and Pine Ridge. I think that boarding school is still going. You know, on the whole, they've changed, obviously, quite a bit. But, you know, they've kind of become, I think it's, you know, an accepted thing for a lot of people. Some people kind of generationally go to them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, there's things that happened and to our relatives. And I know my Chujunk here, we have our own history with our nanny being in boarding school and her father, breaking her out basically and bringing her home. But that isn't really the case. There was a lot of trauma in the sense of them have to go to boarding school, can't speak your language, all these things that really put down the spirit of our elders and our relatives.
You know, and I think, you know, it's interesting, a lot of the interviewers want to talk about that I've been doing today. I always want to talk about the, you know, the real ugly stuff. They want to hear about the beatings and so on. And yeah, that really did happen. I mean, my mother was beaten a lot, but I think in some ways almost worse, where it's just this message that you received that you were just bad as you were, that being Indian was not, you needed to get rid of that. And so as you are, you were just a priori kind of a bad person, and you needed to recover from that. And that, you know, sent a really bad message to people, I think. But then, you know, also there were different, there were different experiences, like there are in every kind of experience like this. I think it depended on where you went. There were often cases, people you would go and there'd be people from your community there, or maybe even, you know, cousins and other family members. And in those cases, you know, people, I think they did a lot better. And then even sometimes, you know, they say there's all this kind of research that they have and data proving that if a child, even if a child is raised in a really difficult environment, you really only have to have one adult like that will treat you in a really good way and speak positively to you. And sometimes there were good teachers there and still are. I mean, people that would, you know, would lift kids up. And my mom even did talk about having a couple of teachers, you know, that did encourage her. So those kinds of things, you know, we're such humans, you know, we're such survivors and so resilient, especially children, you know, even a little bit of positive messaging can help us. So I guess what I really do want to say, you know, it was not just like a uniformly, you know, horrendous negative experience for everybody. It was complicated and diverse.
Well, and she spent her time at age 5 away from her family. And I think that erasure, again, of, you know, we as natives are our aunts or our mothers and how our relationships are with our families was taken away. And it's hard for our relatives to be a mother if they're not showed how to be a mother.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about that. And yet my mom, she didn't have that model of a family. And you know, she really, really wanted it. But, you know, she didn't get that. And I think a lot of our people don't get that. Haven't gotten that. And, you know, you don't do so well if you don't have that. And I think some of that has been passed down among our people. My mom, she had such a difficult time, you know, demonstrating affection, and was not, you know, it was just not normalized for her. She was really quick to assign blame. It was like, you know, that was always one of her big goals, and making a mistake was just, I mean, even a minor mistake was something she would go on and on about, you know. And I think she must have just experienced that quite a bit, you know, when she was at the school, you know, just a real intolerance for mistakes.
Yeah. Or getting blamed for the mistake, wrongly blamed. Who knows what happened? That's one of those deep, deep things. So how did your relationship with your mother change over the years? You know, can you fill us in a little bit on that?
Yeah. You know, I think I for a long time, I was really hurt and angry with her, because she, you know, she could be really cruel. And I drank over it, you know, for a number of years. And then at some point, you know, that just really kind of stopped working for me, and I got into recovery, and that really helped me, you know, gain some perspective on her. But it took a long time. I had an AA sponsor who assigned me to pray for my mother every day with no specific kind of ask, just to pray for her to have peace.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Those pesky AA sponsors, you know, they want you to do those things that really help yourself by helping others. And that's an amazing, amazing thing, is pray for others, especially if you have some kind of resentment.
Yeah. So I started doing that. And, you know, and I kind of got tired of it, but I just did it. That was my, it was my assignment, so I did it. And, you know, I like to say one day, kind of like this wand kind of just descended from the sky and like hit me on the head, and I just stopped being angry with her. It just went away, and I was able to you know, stop blaming her for everything, and I got over myself a little bit, and I was able to kind of see her as another person. And you know, finally I was able to forgive her, although still I can get myself worked up and be mad at her for some of the stuff that she did. But it just, you know, I think I got some perspective on it. And after learning, especially all the stuff that happened to her, I got to thinking, gosh, no wonder, you know, no wonder the woman behaved in this way. So, you know, it was like, and I often do tell people, I mean, if you don't remember anything from what I've talked about to you, remember that going forward. It's been a really useful, helpful thing for me.
Hey, we're here with Marionette Pember, and we're talking about her book, Medicine River, again on Thursday, the 24th at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Moon Palace Bookstore. We'll be celebrating the release of Medicine River. This is Native Earth Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Earth Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Everyone knows I love Rudy Luther Toyota, but do you know who else loves Toyotas? Consumer Reports. They're out with their best of 2025 auto issue, and once again, it reads Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Of the new 2025 models, Consumer Reports recommends the Prius, Corolla, Corolla Hybrid, the Camry, the Sienna, the Corolla Cross Hybrid, the RAV4 Hybrid, the Highlander, and the Highlander Hybrid. In almost every class, you'll find a Toyota. Find one for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. This is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Oh! Hey, we are here with our friend Mary Annette Pember, and she's an independent journalist, and she has a book coming out, Medicine River, and it will be showcased at Moon Palace Bookstore, and I'll be there on Thursday, April 24th at 6 p.m., and please stop by and listen to this important story and also buy a book. Welcome back, and Haley, you had some good comments here.
Oh, yeah, we're here with Mary.
Excuse me, I did want to make a correction. I'm not independent anymore. I'm actually a national correspondent for Indian Country Today, which is now called ICT News.
Yeah, we love them.
Right on. Oh, okay, cool. Moon Palace Books sent me the wrong bio. Darn them. Cool.
That's the old one. That's the old one, I think. I don't know where that came from.
We'll write you a new one.
Exactly. Haley, you had a good response during the break.
Oh, yeah. We were talking a bit about the book, and Mary, you were talking about your mom and her experience attending boarding school. I would love to know kind of where you, your family grew up and what school you're talking about that your mom attended.
Yeah, so my mom grew up on the Bad River Reservation in northern Wisconsin, not far from Ashland. It's actually now called Mashkazibi, Medicine River. And she lived in the little town of Odena, which is still there, obviously, and it actually means a village in Ojibwe Wabamin. And she went to St. Mary's School, I think it was originally called St. Mary's Indian Industrial School. At different times, the name has been changed to St. Mary's Indian Mission School, but it's a very old school. It was established like in the 1880s. And kind of on the cusp of, like, you know, the big push of the timber industry and so on into Wisconsin, and as they were building the railroads and stuff. So it was still kind of considered a wilderness when those sisters first came to establish the school. So my mom was born and raised there. She went to sister school there until like eighth grade, and then she went to Flandreau Indian School. And she graduated. She had a high school diploma, and she was very proud of that. After a period of time, she actually met my father, who's a non-native man, and they were married and lived in Janesville, Wisconsin, which is where I grew up, which is a town south of Madison.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's the suburbs there. So let's talk a little bit more, too. How are we concluding this? Well, first of all, let me say this to our listeners. Where can somebody get the book that's not in the Twin Cities? Because we're all over Turtle Island, people are interested in this. Where can they purchase this book?
Well, it should be available, like, at any means, you know, any bookstore. Of course, one can purchase it online at that really large vendor that many of us shop at, and I guess I'm trying not to shop at that so much, but I mean, there's a lot of independent bookstores. I mean, and I think if you just typed in Medicine River and my name, I think you could find a good place to buy the book.
So you've been saying earlier, people, you've been doing a lot of interviews. What is one of the most asked questions?
Well, people, non-native interviewers really want to hear about all of the horrible details. They want to hear that it was all just sort of this uniform experience that all of those Indians just got beaten and mistreated. And they really want to emphasize that, how everybody was forced. And they were, you know, there were different experiences, though. But I find that really interesting is they really just want to hear about the worst of the worst. And I don't know what that's about. I think early on, especially, you know, particularly in the 19th century, it was pretty bad. I mean, I think they would just show up and drag you off. And, you know, especially those early schools were very militarized, you know, like Carlisle and so on. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would just cut your hair off and dress you up in these little uniforms and, you know, change your name. And I think, you know, things did change, you know, over the years, and I think especially into the 20th century, although, you know, it still was really, it was a harsh experience, I think, for most people. It really was. And, you know, and there was really no regulation. There was no oversight, you know, and a lot of places were kind of located in remote areas. There certainly wasn't anybody out to oversee how they were treating those children. They really worked kids a lot. And if, you know, what I found really interesting in doing the research about just even the early settlers coming to this country and the church missionaries along with them, they were just so frosted that us Indians didn't work all the time.
Yeah.
Drove them crazy that we would, well, we would, like, I think we binge worked sometimes, you know, something we were harvesting or so on, or cooking syrup or whatever, you know. But then when there wasn't work, people would visit and just flat out frosted those people. And they would always talk about that Indians needed to acquire the habit of hard manual labor. And that was really, that was kind of part and parcel of civilization. That would change us and that would better us.
Mm-hmm.
And that even went into, that was a very early on, even in the 1500s, but then even later we began, I saw that kind of language, like the guy, Thomas Kenny, who was the first, you know, head of the Indian Bureau. I forget what they originally called it. I've got all this stuff kind of written around my room so I can refer to it. But he talked about gaining the habit of labor for But not labor that really was satisfying and like produced anything that you would necessarily find enriching. They just wanted to kind of break your spirit, I felt like, you know, it was really kind of that message. I think we were just kind of, I think we were just having too much fun in some way. Yeah. Well, I think that we were kind of, you know, we actually, you know, embraced some happiness in humanity. And I think in some ways that kind of outraged them. We needed to suffer more.
Yeah, I believe that. So what are people going to take out of this book that possibly don't know about the boarding school experience, but also people that do know the boarding school experience? What are the two takeaways?
Well, I think for people who don't know about the boarding school experience, although, you know, this is like kind of one of the naughty words now, you know, like a DEI that the history of this country is one of entrenched racism. And, you know, the things that happened, you know, were really people did some pretty regrettable things, you know. Complex history of, you know, that boarding schools were really just part of the assimilationist federal policies that wanted to really separate us from our resources and land. Mm-hmm. And then they figured one of the most effective ways to do that was just to make us stop being Indian so that we could work for them. And then I think the other thing that just really a better view of history, I know it's complex and not altogether pleasant, but I think that, you know, people are grown up enough to learn about that. And then I think the other message that is kind of universal that I hope people would take away is just the experience of learning more about your own family, your parents and what their lives were like, particularly if you had a difficult childhood or something. And I think most of us have had something, everybody, you know, the famous saying, each family is unhappy in its own unique way. I think Dostoevsky said that, but I think everybody has something they want to, deal with their family, and that, you know, finding out more about your parents can be tremendously helpful and enlightening when you find out about, you know, what they've gone through, and getting a better view of their humanity. And I think that it really can benefit us, and I think it benefits just about anybody.
Wow. That's read Medicine River by Mary Annette Ember, and that's come to Moon Palace Books on April 24th from 6 p.m. on, and I'll be there. Mary, a big peeny geegee, love to get you on for maybe a whole show that, when things settle down for you a little bit. This is amazing, and you're a great guest.
Oh, Miigwech, thanks for having me.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. volunteerwisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says when it comes to Russia's war on Ukraine, President Zelensky needs to agree, but Trump thinks there is a deal with Russia and says of meeting Putin.
I will be meeting
in Saudi Arabia.
It's possible, but most likely not. I think we'll meet with him shortly thereafter.
The body of the late Pope Francis is within St. Peter's Basilica to lie in state until Friday evening. Pilgrims, including John McKay of the UK, wait in line to pay their respects.
They taught us all how to be Christians and to be human. And that's what we are so happy about. So we'll follow him. And we want Pope Francis II now.
Steve McMichael played 15 years in the NFL and then came the big game in 1985 with the Chicago Bears.
Hungry Chicago, finally champions.
That call from the NFL, McMichael's publicist says the defensive tackle died today after a battle with ALS. He was 67. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.